This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Let's go, baby. So the first round down, rounds 2 and 3 tonight. The NFL draft and coverage on ESPN Radio begins 6 p.m. Eastern. You will hear Bart Scott in all his glory on the coverage as well. And why not? Because it was the draft itself was, I mean, for a draft that we were talking about, or at least I was, lacking sizzle, you know, not a big name, though. Obviously not the quarterback draft. There was only one taken in the first round. But still, there was some magic to it because of, a couple of teams, especially the New York teams, played it like a chessboard and played it well. And then other teams jumped up to get who they wanted, and some teams started trading away veteran wide receivers. You saw a run on wide receivers, and that got exciting. A lot of movement, a lot of trades, a lot of drama, and still a lot of questions to be answered tonight. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And Bart, as you know, it's Friday, and it is also hour number 3. And what does it mean when it's hour number 3?
It means it's the power hour, 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 hour. Oh, I'm so sleepy.
Your voice, by the way, does sound like you did put in a couple of hours last night in the draft. Well, how many hours tonight now? You got 2 rounds tonight. So what are we talking about?
Probably another 5, son.
5.
Another hot fizz off. Hour before the show, little pre-post.
Yes.
Then in between, like I hope they're making moves a lot faster today, or just as fast.
No, they were pretty quick.
They were before they got to the 10th. You got 10th, yeah. But when it got to 10, it got crazy.
Yeah, oh, no, that's true.
That and I'm hoping it should be less time. I think before it used to be 15 minutes. Now it's 10 for the first round, so maybe it's 5 for the second round. So we can get this out of the way.
Just keep it rolling. Yeah. Now again, if you need a good Wi-Fi, I recommend Spearmint Rhino. Terrific Wi-Fi if you got to get some work done before the draft.
That's what I've been,
I can reach out to
you. You know what's crazy?
Mm-hmm.
I called my boy because I was supposed to go out last night. I was tired and I fell asleep. And I talked to him and called him. It's more like, my bad, I fell asleep. This dude has been in the strip club. He's probably still there since 3 o'clock.
Come on.
He said his boy disappeared for an hour and a half. He has no idea where he is in the strip club.
That's usually the story there.
Like, bro,
somebody in your group disappears and you don't know where they went and you don't hear from them for like a day.
Yeah,
and
then
they
just
show up and you're like, where'd you? Oh, I don't know, man.
He said I haven't seen Brandon in an hour and a half. I don't know where you went.
It happens. It does. All right. Well, keep yourself safe. One of the casinos called New York, New York, and that was part of the story yesterday in the draft. And it started with really pretty early because, look, did the draft go the way we expected? At the very beginning, it did. Because as the mocks by Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay predicted, Trayvon Walker from Georgia, one of several Georgia defensive players to go in this draft, he went number 1 to Jacksonville. Then Aiden Hutchinson, I mean, did Detroit even wait 30 seconds before they ran? They were holding the jersey up. Goodell barely sat down. The pick is in. The chimes came, and the Lions were like, we got him. Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, they love it. They get him. Then the 3rd pick, and it's the Texans. And your call on ESPN Radio last night as the Texans, as this pick was made, was epic. Because it was as if you knew what was coming next and you were excited for it because the pick after the Texans would be the New York Jets. Let's listen to Bart last night as the Texans pick was announced.
With the 3rd pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Houston Texans select Derek Stingley Jr. Bless you.
Give me your money.
I mean, that's the most obnoxious laugh going. But you were laughing because, you were predicting it, obviously. But you also knew that the Jets were going to get a guy you've been talking about. The Jets, Bart, at number 4, they got the sauce.
Dude hasn't surrendered more than 60 yards, like more than 13 yards to any receiver in his college career. Never surrendered a touchdown. And you don't think that he's the number 1 guy on the board, sub 4.4 40. You know, long, and he's, listen, don't, you talk about, oh, yeah, you love him, Bart, because he's from Detroit. Yes, because I understand his pedigree. I understand where he comes from, and I know that he got that dog in him. He ain't going to get punked by nobody, intimidated by nobody. But what people fail to realize, who else is from Michigan? Maybe 20 minutes from where I live. Oh, that would be Robert Saleh. So he understands what when you get somebody from Detroit, what that means too.
He's Dearborn.
So being from Michigan is an asset.
Mm. Yeah, well, it is there in that case. Ahmad Gardner from Cincinnati, the corner, he goes 4. And it just continued on from there because the between the Jets and Giants, they had 4 picks between number 4 and number 10. And both teams in New York feel like – and both teams have struggled. I mean, it has not been pretty when it comes to football in New York. And even on drafts, there's been some dark days after these drafts for both these franchises. But after day one for both the Jets and the Giants, it was a great day because the Giants get – Kayvon Thibodeau from Oregon, the edge rusher at number 5, and they knew that they could do that because they also wanted a tackle. There were 2 still on the board. They let Carolina pick one of them at number 6. That was Okonwu from NC State. They stay in state, and they get him. And the Giants, all right, fine. So we'll take the guy from Alabama, Evan Neal. And they did that at 7, and it works out. And then the Jets wanted a wide receiver at 10. Could they trade the 10 pick for Deebo Samuel? That wasn't going to happen. Drake London goes to Atlanta, like you suggested. He could. He goes to Atlanta. So when the Jets come up at 10, they get their wide receiver, Garrett Wilson. So now you have Zach Wilson thrown to Garrett Wilson, and what a top 10 that was. But we continue because the Jets then take one of their second round, early seconds, move back into the first round, and grab themselves an edge rusher that you loved in Jermaine Johnson II from Florida State. And he now becomes a 3rd first round pick for this team. So what a day it was for the Jets, and there's still more to come in the second round as both the Jets and the Giants still have picks within the top 10 of the second round. But it was a day of wide receivers, it was a day of trades, but it certainly was a day that both New York teams that have been bad for a while have a chance to put a foundation down of getting themselves back into contention for anything. Even just having a winning record would be nice. When we talk Giants, we go to one place. We love her. Tessa in Jersey, who calls us and gives us the realness. Tessa, how are you and how are you feeling about your Giants?
Listen, I'm doing great. I miss y'all. You know sometimes they catch me with my work schedule. So I've been listening. I just haven't been able to call. Listen, let's freaking go. Yes, I was a little salty at first with Sauce. Like, oh, so that's what y'all doing, little brothers? No problem. But then I didn't care. We have not drafted an edge rusher since JPP, and I love Kayvon. He has just the right amount of swag and confidence that we need. Not obnoxious, but just enough, you know? And then, listen, because of Evan, I'm going to the gym today, and I'm trying to do that squat he did, that jump up on them blocks. Come on, let's go with it. Come on, that's what we need. Just forget Kayvon Saquon right now. So you do what Evan did. I know I'm going to try today with a personal trainer, though, guys. With a personal trainer. Yeah, I can't do it by myself. But
watch,
let's freaking go all day. And Alan, you said it right. All I want to do is get a winning record. That's all I want to do. And I'm not saying that. What was our problem last year? We never could get to the quarterback. We tried, but that quarterback was back there freaking fishing, having a good time smoking cigars, doing whatever he wanted to do back there, no matter what quarterback it was. This year, I think we can do it. And now offensive tackle. You know I'm not a fan of Danny Jones, but whatever. Listen, block him. Yes, get his blind spot wherever. This guy can move wherever he want to go. So, yes, I am very happy, and let's just go. Let's freaking go. You know what? Even though all y'all do is talk about the Jets, I love y'all like Jets fans, I'm happy for y'all, too. Y'all did good, but I'm going to be a little salty. We did better. And listen, one comment real quick.
How is 3 better than 2?
Wait, go ahead. One more comment. Go ahead.
One more comment, Bart, real quick. You know I am so happy them Nets got swept because you know I couldn't stand that trio. Then when it went to the duo, I'm happy because now don't you ever compare KD to LeBron in your life, Bart, because then I definitely will show up to the studio.
Where's LeBron at? LeBron couldn't even make it to the play-in. What are you talking about? LeBrick didn't even make it to the play-in. And he had 3 Hall of Famers.
I'd rather not make it to the playoffs and get swept. I'd rather not make it to the playoffs and get swept. That's embarrassing. And they was healthy.
Guess what? They weren't healthy. Oh. They didn't have Ben Simmons. They didn't have Joe. They didn't have the shooter, Harrison, Joe Harris. Like, so what are you talking
about? You got Kyrie thinking the world's flat. You got Kevin and he still gained 15 pounds and brush his hair. You got any ashy. No.
Oh, we want to talk about hair. We want to talk about hair. LeBron hasn't admitted that he's balding yet. He lost. He did the hair transplant did not take. He looked like the back of a pizza when the pepperoni is taken off. No. He looked like the back of a Reese's cup when you take it and it's not cold and it just kind of stick and you see the peanut butter around the chocolate. And guess what? The Lakers did get swept. They got swept by the Pelicans and they got to send their ass the 10th overall pick because they suck.
Tess, we love you.
My Yankees is winning. Everybody doing good. You know I love y'all. I'm back. I'll be calling y'all again real soon.
Love you, Tess. Thank you so much.
Send LeBron some shoe polish to cover up his ball spot.
She couldn't help but bring up LeBron to you. She couldn't help but do it.
Right.
That's why we love
him. Like he didn't have three. Like he didn't have three Hall of Famers on his squad.
More of your calls coming up, of course, and more on the big draft night for the Giants and the Jets. And by the way, the Yankees are suddenly winning. What's behind all that? We'll get to it next. But first, Bart has this from O'Reilly.
Yeah, did they catch the Mets? Let's talk about that. When you need auto parts, O'Reilly.com.
Hit you in the head with a pick.
It's just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get the parts quickly. Order online at O'Reilly.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly auto parts store. They'll bring the parts out or choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on the most orders over $35. Mm-hmm. Get your order quickly at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'Reilly.com today. NFL music out of live read. I can't read the end of the read because y'all pictures are right there in front. Let me see if I can move that.
You're just doing that on purpose now. My God. Tess from Jersey is an example of the excitement right now in New York in that market about their two football teams and the day they had last night in the first day of the NFL draft. And there's still more to come. The Giants have the fourth pick in the second round. And I'll tell you what, if Malik Willis is there, it will be interesting knowing Daniel Jones. They didn't pick up his option. What will they do? Do they pass? Do they trade? Do let somebody else jump in and get some more draft capital? The Jets have the pick at 38 shortly after them. That would be sixth into the second round. And what are they going to do? So a lot of intrigue in this. And you know what? This time we go to New York where Michael Kay, the great voice of the Yankees, also will be on the K-Rod cast on ESPN2 for Sunday Night Baseball as you got the Phillies and the Mets on Sunday, and the host of the Michael Kay Show in New York on 98.7 ESPN. He joins us right now. Michael, before we even say anything, I would like you to listen to something that Kayvon Thibodeau, who's the fifth pick that the Giants took, what he said to us a couple of months ago when it comes to playing in a big market versus a small market. And I wonder if from your experience, when you hear him say this, if it makes you feel like, boy, the Giants got themselves even more of a special player. Listen to this.
I mean, it does. I really love it. You know, I'm from L.A., which is probably one of the other meccas of the world. And I honestly feel like I could thrive there. You know, not only as a – I look at a guy like Michael Strahan and then what he was able to do on the field and how it kind of helped him transition to off the field. And I truly see my life being like that.
So Michael Kay, Kayvon Thibodeau, already looking at Michael Strahan as somebody that he wants to emulate.
Well, he's a good guy to emulate, but that is a little bit of a case of putting the cart before the horse. But a lot of teams were concerned that, you know, he's so much more concerned about his brand than he is about actually performing on the field. And I always go back to Derek Jeter, who realized that everything happened because you perform on the field. So Thibodeau certainly has that talent. And if he does want to have a brand and wants to have a post-career, I guess being in New York would be a good thing. And then, you know, Bart could speak to that as well. If he had stayed in Baltimore, would he have the media career that he has now? I think New York opens doors for you. So if Thibodeau wants it, and if he could play and do what he's supposed to do on the field, then this is the place to be.
I think that's what people don't realize, Michael. He understands that the work has to come on the football field first, and he wants that to be magnified with his performance first so that he can take advantage of doing that. I mean, that's a mature young man for me because just think, when he was in high school, we asked him, why did he not go to Alabama? He said because he wanted to associate his brand and his self with Phil Knight, a tremendous businessman. So he lived up to the expectations there because we were arguing and saying that maybe he should be the first pick of the draft. So he did it before. Who's to say he can't do it again?
Absolutely. As long as he's committed, as you said, Bart, to doing it on the field, then everything else will come into place. And really, who are we to criticize somebody that has outsized expectations for himself. I mean, you want somebody to feel that much about themselves, but they do have to perform. It comes down to that. You can't get it before it happens on the field. And I've seen it happen to other players where they think they could be a star without putting in the work. It looks like Thibodeau is a guy who wants to work and also wants to be a star. Those things could go together with the New York Giants.
And the Giants had the two picks, and they got Evan Neal from Alabama. So they did a really good job setting themselves up in this draft and how it worked out for them. They got two pieces they certainly need. The Jets ended up having three first-round picks, and they also got players that they wanted, they were targeting, and they nailed them as well. Michael, after last night and seeing all the reaction from just Jets fans, Giants fans, and not only them, but also draft analysts. I mean, you see Lewis Riddick and Todd McShay, people saying, boy, what the Jets did, what the Giants did, how well they did. Can you remember in all the years you've been in New York, can you remember a draft where Jets fans and Giants fans are looking at it saying, well, our teams did really well? I can't imagine the calls you're going to get on your show today about reacting to the Jets and Giants after day one.
I can't remember. And frankly, Alan, it makes me a little bit nervous because most of the people that are screaming in the stands and watching there, I mean, they just react to players that they know the names. And, you know, maybe the names do come out and they live up to their advanced billing. Sometimes you have to, unearth a diamond in the rough. And that's what Bill Belichick tried to do with the pick that he had late in the first round. But really, just off the surface, the Giants and the Jets did everything that the fans would want them to do, all the experts would want them to do. And with the Jets, they have three of the top 11 picks that Mel Kiper Jr. had on his list. So to get that and, you know, have it the last one, the 26th pick, that obviously Joe Douglas did some heavy lifting, and he started to make the call to get back in the first round after the 15th pick because he could not believe that Johnson was dropping. But he dropped, and maybe the Jets saw something in him that other teams didn't.
Yeah, and again, to get the three, that's important. But obviously foundations for both these teams because they have been losing for too long of a time. Maybe this is a draft we look at for both these teams and they get there. We're talking with Michael Kay, the voice of the Yankees, also on the K-Rod cast, ESPN2. You got the Phillies and Mets on Sunday night for the K-Rod cast. And Michael, the Mets and the Cardinals had themselves a series. The complaints about the baseball, we've heard it in the past. Whether it's the pitchers can't grip the ball for whatever reason, the seams were too low, the flat, whatever. And now it's pitchers talking about it because players are getting hit. I mean, is this still a problem for baseball? For the sport, I should say, not just the ball?
Well, I think the ball is the genesis of all these problems. It's a little odd, though, that the Mets have been hit more than anybody by a lot, you know, because everybody's using the same baseball. But, you know, I've been reading up on the baseball a lot, and it does create baseballs that are different. And, they installed humidors in all 30 ballparks. And previous to that, there had been only 10. So they wanted all the baseballs to be the same. But what's happening is that when it goes from the factory to the truck, then to the stadium, it's not being protected at all. It's a victim of the elements. And then once you take it out of humidor, then the laces and the everything that's inside the baseball wants to expand. And the only place that it can expand, the only place that there's air is where the stitches are. So now the stitches are actually raised a little bit too much, Alan. So it's weird. I don't know what the answer is. It's just strange.
I felt like you were talking about a cigar for a minute. Like humidors.
Yeah, it sounds like that, right?
Like when did we get to this point in the sport where the ball now has to be treated like it's a Tiffany diamond?
Well, it's so amazing. This is a multi-billion dollar sport, right? And they still rub the baseball down with mud that they used to rub it from the same river in Delaware on the Jersey side that they did when Babe Ruth played. It's just unbelievable. I think what they have to do is they have to switch to the ball that they use in Japan, which has a tacky feel to it. People will get a better grip without sticky stuff. And I think that would be the ultimate solution. But so far, they've resisted that.
Talking about the sticky stuff, man, is it still any concern, with the White Well that,
Gerrico,
he's not pitching, he's not pitching like he pitched in Houston? Is this any concern?
Well, I mean, it comes down, Bart, to either cause and effect or effect and cause. So if you look at his numbers before they cracked down on the sticky stuff, he had an ERA in the twos. And since that time, he has an ERA in the fours. But then, if you look since that time, he's also had unbelievable starts against great teams like the Houston Astros. So I don't know what the reason is. And the last time he pitched for the Yankees, he pitched very well. and his spin rate was about what it was with Houston. So maybe he's just having a little slump because the stuff is still there, Bart. He's still throwing 99 miles an hour. But until he reverts back to the level that he was with the Astros, people are always going to think it's because of the sticky stuff. But remember one thing. He finished second in the Cy Young voting last year, so he didn't have that bad of a year.
Right, exactly. Michael, with the Yankees winning six in a row, do we exhale now? I mean, I know how we get such a long season, and everybody wants to see them just start out 5-0, and when they don't, we just think, is it a problem? And you guys on your show made a great point. I think it was Don that did, Don LaGreca, who said it just felt like an extension of the way last season ended. That's what was so frustrating. It's as if we just saw this happen in the fall, and it's happening again. But now over these last six games, have they figured it out? Is this the team that we expect them to be?
Well, I'll tell you this. I never doubted this team was a good team. And this team is going to make the playoffs, whether they win the division or one of the three wild cards. They're good. They're going to win, you know, over 92, 93 games. Now, how far over that will decide whether or not they win the division. This is a different team than last year, guys. I mean, Isaiah Kinnifalefa is a contact batter. The Yankees have not had that. Their defense is better. They have not made errors in 12 straight games. That's important as well. Brian Cashman set out to make the defense better. One big key is that DJ LeMahieu is not hurt. He looks like the player that he was the first 2 years with the Yankees. That's a big addition for them. And, you know, the defense behind the plate is exemplary every single game, either Trevino or Higashioka. And guys, look at the pitching, too. So as long as they keep their pitching healthy, their bullpen, I think, is the best in baseball, they got a chance to be really good. And by the way, I know everybody around the country is listening to your show. New York is now the mecca of baseball. The Mets have the best record in the National League. The Yankees have the best record in the American League. So bring it on, everybody else.
Love it. Michael Kay, thanks so much.
Big K-Rod this Sunday. A lot of guests. Tune in.
Oh, wait. Can you tease a couple of guests? That's right. I needed to say that.
The first two guests will be on together, John and Patrick McEnroe.
Oh,
then we have Keith Hernandez. We have Ryan Howard. We have Hank Azaria. Hopefully he'll be a little Brockmire. And then we have the great Broadway star Matthew Broderick. So we got guests, baby.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the K-Rod cast, ESPN2, Sunday Night Baseball. You get the Phillies and the Mets, and you see there all the guests there, a little bit of New York and Philly flavor. Michael, great stuff. We'll be watching. Thank you.
Have a great weekend, guys.
All right. Yes, the great Michael Kay. You can hear him on 98.7 ESPN in New York, right after our show, actually, in New York. And again, the voice of the Yankees in that K-Rod cast. Well, that's loaded. So you got Hank Azaria, who's hysterical. Matthew Broderick, of course. You know him. Ryan Howard, the great Philly. And, Keith Hernandez, a little bit of Mets action in there.
Yeah, love Hank Azaria, man. I used to have him on as regular as a guest. Love when he goes into all the characters.
The different characters.
I love his character, Brock Myers. You're from The Simpsons.
Yes.
He does like he does like 12 of them.
Yeah. First time I saw Brock Myers, I was stunned when it got like real raunchy, and I just wasn't expecting it. All right, tune into the National East battle we were talking about Sunday as the Mets host the Phillies. It's presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN. And we remind you again, the K-Rod cast on ESPN 2. Coming up, we've been waiting for it. You were told it was coming.
Hmm?
Yes, Bart Stradamus making an appearance next. Ooh. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
All right, it is time. We have waited all week for this. People have asked for this. We have gotten requests since the NFL season ended. People are asking, begging, where is Bart Stradamus? Well, I think he's here. It is Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And Bart has stepped away, and Bart Stradamus has arrived.
Yes!
To answer your questions and give you predictions on the rest of the draft.
Honey, I said put it on black, not red. Oh, yes!
Bart Stradamus, are you in Vegas?
Split it! Oh, Alan, of course. Where else would I be? Welcome all.
Well,
Vegas is my vacation spot.
Welcome back to the show.
A lot of dead people walking around alive. Oh, yes.
I have some questions for you, Bart Stradamus. Are you ready to answer them regarding day two of the NFL draft?
Proceed, my child.
Everyone is wondering why Malik Willis didn't go in the first round. They feel like he must be going early in the second round. There are a lot of options early in the second round. But Barshadamas, please tell us, oh, great one, where will the Liberty quarterback wind up?
Oh, Malik. Those who are first shall be last, and those who are last shall be first.
What?
The fall continues in round two for Malik, but I see him finding a peak. As the Pacific Northwest shall open his doors to the Liberty Star. Oh, yes, Drew Locke does not have the hold or the lock on the position. As young Malik shall get an opportunity to imitate the great Russell Wilson.
Hmm.
Oh, yes. Matt Flynn thought it was a lock, too. Only
so
to fall victim to the grind.
So, Barshadamas is saying, Seattle's got pick 40 and 41. So that means seven teams will pass on Malik Willis in the second round. And if it sets up, if you think about it, Tampa's got Kyle Trask. Minnesota's got Kellen Mond. Tennessee's not going to make that pick, are they? The Giants?
No.
And then it's Houston. They have Davis Mills. The Jets have Zach Wilson. And the Bears have Justin Fields. So there aren't many options there aside from Tennessee or maybe the Giants. So Seattle might not even have to move up. They have picks 40 and 41. We shall see. Barshadamas, may we continue.
Proceed, my child.
The question so everyone in Green Bay is asking. In fact, everyone with a man bun is asking this question as well. Will Aaron Rodgers finally get a wide receiver in this draft?
Oh, yes. Yes, he shall. But shall it be a draft? Or would it be OBJ? Questions you ask me. Now I ask you.
Wait, what?
No, my child. I shall grant you one final wish. Yes, the great one, A.A. Ron. As they target Christian Watson from North Dakota State. Oh, yes.
Interesting.
The colors are the same. Yellow and green. So it is said.
Okay.
So it shall be.
Keep an eye on that prediction tonight on the coverage of the NFL draft. Starts at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. And Bart Scott, not Barshadamas, will be on the coverage of that. And I think we'll get another one of those laughs if he ends up being right and the Packers make that pick. One more for you, Barshadamas, if I may.
You shall.
The Giants did very well in the first round, filling needs at edge rusher and also at offensive tackle. What need will the Giants fill in the second round at pick number 36 if they aren't going for Daniel Jones' replacement and Malik Willis? What are they then going for?
Dealer's choice. As it's great to be in a newlywed phase, as Wink Martindale has been tasked with solidifying the defense. Oh, yes, Thibodeau was just the tip of the iceberg. As now they target a lockdown corner. Oh, there's many available. Poof, it's there. Oh, yes. But Barshadamas predicts it shall be Kyler Gordon from the University of Washington. And guess what? For something to live, something shall die. And for that death, rest in peace. James Bradbury, you cost too damn much. Oh, yes. Get the stepping, as Marty Marr would say. I holla.
Thank you, Barshadamas. We appreciate you as always.
You're welcome, my child.
Coming up, we have your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And we also have what Bart Scott can't wait to see this weekend. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We take a pause on the NFL draft to get back into the NBA playoff discussion, because three teams advanced last night. The Sixers get by the Raptors. They move on. They'll play the Heat. James Harden showed up, everybody. That was nice. The Suns beat the Pelicans. Chris Paul was perfect, literally 14 of 14. Now the Suns move on. But I'll tell you what, if you look at that Pelicans team and how hard they played in this series, they pushed the Suns to six games. Willie Green, the coach of the Pelicans, is in tears afterwards. Showed you how hard they fought. And that team really came together, and they've got something special growing there. And all of a sudden today, Zion Williamson is asked, if the Pelicans offer you that max extension that you're due, would you sign it? And he was like, I can't sign that thing fast enough. Now, my only question with that is, with whom? I know you want to sign the extension, but with whom? But it does sound like, though, that things will settle there in New Orleans. And then there's this story, Bart. The Mavericks end up eliminating the Jazz last night as Luka played great, 24 points, 8 assists, and Bogdanovich misses a three at the buzzer that would have won it and forced a game 7. That didn't happen, and so another season ends in disappointment for the Jazz. And after the game, Donovan Mitchell, who, let me remind you, has a max extension that he signed that goes for the next 4 years. He's signed for 4 years. Was asked about his future with the team, and his answer was quite cryptic. Listen.
I'm answering the same question. My goal and my opportunity, my mindset is to win, you know, and like I said, right now, I'm not really looking at that. You know, I answered Sarah's question, you know, and you could take that. But for me, like, I just want to win, yo. Like, this hurts. And, you know, like I said, I'll think about it in a week and kind of go from there. But right now, Tim, like, I'm not really thinking about any of that. To be completely honest with you, I'm not, you know, and I have said that during the year, like, you know, I'm just not thinking about that.
If you're really a Knicks fan, this is a story to pay attention to, because why would he have to think about a future that is locked up, guaranteed 4 years, unless he's thinking about something else, which is not being there?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's playing his cards face up. But to tell you, let me ask you this. Who would you rather get? Would you rather trade R.J. Barrett for Donovan Mitchell, or would you rather be able to just trade maybe Mitchell Robinson for Brunson?
Well, I think I think you might do both and change up your backcourt. Brunson and Donovan Mitchell, two New York guys, and scrappers. And that could be an option. If he wants out of there, the Knicks have what it takes to get him. That's a story to watch this offseason. We're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart, can you name this band?
Hey, come on,
I'm air drumming right now.
I don't know. I mean, it's either ACDC or...
Did somebody put that in your ear? You nailed it. Nailed it.
I got an ACDC t-shirt.
I know you do. That's why I asked you, because...
I'm thinking of that crazy song.
I thought you'd love this song. It's Back in Black.
I do, but remember that... I forget one of my favorite songs. Hey, she's a crazy... She's so damn man, but I'm in love with it. I can't say the words, because it's like, you know, it's saying basically she's a crazy... Mm-hmm. But I love her so much that something with it. You know what I mean? Okay. I can't say words because it's bad words, but that's one of my favorite rock songs. They go hard.
We'll have to discuss that then off the air. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. And we have a couple of calls to get to, more calls. I'd love to get to as many people as can on the NFL stuff, because we've been talking about it throughout the show. And then, of course, what we can't wait to see this weekend. So let's first go to Anthony in Jersey. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey guys. How you doing?
What's up?
Bart, I just want to tell you one thing before I get to my point. I've always wanted to tell you this. I'm a diehard Ravens fan, and I was heartbroken, man. I've never been so heartbroken when a player has left Baltimore than when you left to go to the Jets. Oh, I remember that summer getting my Bart Scott jersey, and then you ended up going to the Jets, man. I was heartbroken. But my point is, I thought the Ravens had a great draft. I love the picks. But I think they could have traded back into the first round and got Linderbaum without trading Marquise Brown. I wanted to get your take. I just have no idea who Lamar Jackson is throwing the ball to this year.
Well, Well,
yeah, Hollywood Brown, for those just first thing, Hollywood Brown went to Arizona.
Well, he asked to leave, too. Yeah. So, you know, if you don't want to be a Raven, listen, that's one of the best places, greatest organizations I've ever been around. If you don't want to be a Raven, then the Ravens aren't going to beg you to come there and want to be there. So I think that had wore out his welcome. But, you know, Rashad Bateman is there. I think it's time for Duvernay to become the next Deebo Samuels and give him an opportunity to be able to have some opportunities. But listen, they still have plenty. There's plenty of good receivers still left. You still got Sky Moore left there. You still got George Pickett. Listen, this is a deep draft for receivers. So by Hollywood, we were able to get Linderbaum. And Linderbaum is something that you're going to need, because not only is he a position of need, but you talk about that running game with Baltimore, being able to get to the second level, all those pulling and getting three people to the edge. This is the perfect pick. When I talked to Mel Kiper, the first thing we talked about is, man, this dude looks like a Raven, built out of the same mold as Marshall Yanda. And you're a Raven fan, so you know what I'm saying when I talk about Marshall Yanda and him being a third-round draft pick going all the way to the Hall of Fame, which eventually where he's going to go.
All right, this is the kind of coverage you're going to get, and you continue to get. You got it last night in the first round. You heard Bart laughing when picks were made. Well, you got day two tonight, the second and third round, and Bart and everyone, ESPN2. The coverage begins on ESPN Radio as well at 6 p.m., and so you want to stay tuned for that, because it's going to be very interesting at the very top of the second round of this draft of several teams that can make some moves. And where will another quarterback go? Malik Willis, where will he go? The Giants pick. The Jets also have a pick very high up there. And then Tampa, what do they do with the very first pick of the second round? As we're looking forward to a lot of things tonight and this weekend, Bart, let's do some can't wait.
There is so much going on in sports this weekend.
Here comes Showtime with the hammer for the win.
And Bart's got
can't wait.
I'm Barton Hahn.
All right, can't wait. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Bart, what can't you wait to see this weekend?
I tell you what, Patrick Beverly asked me, are you not entertained? Yes, I am. This young series between Memphis and the Timberwolves has been worth its price of admission. I think it has exceeded all expectations. The pettiness, the shot making, the last second shots, giving up the big leads. I can't wait to see if the Timberwolves can push it to a game seven and not blow a 20-point lead again.
Are you not entertained?
Game 6 tonight, 9 p.m. on ESPN. And if there's a Game 7, 3:30 ABC on Sunday. Certainly something I'd be looking forward to, because we didn't get a Game 7 from anyone out of this first round. You got to love them, and that series is one. You'd love to see it continue. What else you got for me, Bart?
I tell you what, I'm out in Vegas, and everybody who knows me knows that a couple of weeks ago I talked about Spence and that fight. I talked about Tyson Fury. And this week in Vegas, you have another young prospect, got the dimples and the charisma of a young Sugar Ray Leonard, as you have Oscar Valdez versus Shakur Stevenson out here in Vegas. Lightweight boxing supremacy is on the line. I can't wait to see if somebody goes night-night.
Mm. Shakur Stevenson's an interesting story, isn't he? Like, real smart, real cerebral boxer. Real smart guy.
Got them hands, too.
And he, you talk about hands, quick hands.
Trains with Bud Crawford.
Yep, and he's a guy looking forward to this fight. He's been wanting this fight. I mean, he's been talking about this fight. So this will be, this one, I love this one. I'm looking forward certainly to this one. What is Tyson Fury going to do, Bart? Like, what's
Tyson
next
Fury
for him at this point?
He's going to fight Njoku, I believe. I forget his name, UFC, and some type of cross fight. Just imagine how much money that $100 million for McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. This right, should be on par with that. Both of these guys are British guys. They're going to fight in some mixed rules type of fight, where it's going to be MMA gloves. You know, they're both the same size. They're both heavyweight punchers, skilled fighters. You would think the advantage would go to the boxer, but if they add a little grappling into it, who knows if he's able to rough them up. The two big, strong, tall men, they're about the same height. This is going to be amazing. And you think about, you know, what Tyson Fury was able to do. He put almost $100,000 in Wembley Stadium. So they're going to sell out, because they're big time. They're two of the biggest stars over in Europe.
All right, well, you got to head out on the strip and get to your coverage tonight, and I mean...
Oh, I'm about to go meet my friends.
One more night in Vegas.
He's been in a strip club for 8 hours. I want to make sure he's still hydrated.
Make sure he's still there. Say hi to all my friends there at the Spearmint, at the Rhino. I'm going to miss you, but have a great time. Bart on the coverage tonight of the second round on ESPN Radio. I'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.